Hi everyone, you're listening to Faith Family Worship Center's podcast number 146 for October 31st, 2010. In this week's podcast, Pastor Archie will conclude his series on 1 month to live with his message titled Living a No Regrets Life.
Let's go to our text today. Let's stand up together as we go to the Word of God. Let's open up our Bibles to John chapter 10. Just one verse. Then you can be seated. But before you sit down, greet the person next to you. Amen. All right. Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Father, as we look into your word again, Lord, bless, O God, your people. Bless each one of us, O God, that we will receive your word gladly. And you will receive it, Lord, with open heart so that, Lord, you will transform our lives and apply your words, O God, into our lives so that we can be effective, productive children of God. Lord, help us to live to the full as you have given us, Lord, that abundant life, that passionate life. So, Lord, right now we commit everyone to you. Anoint your servant, anoint your people in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. And greet again the person next to you and tell them that you love them and you're glad that you're here today. God bless. All right. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. The Lord is good. Amen. The title of our message today is Living a No Regrets Life. You want that life? When you can say at the end of your life, when you've grown up to be like me, all right, or older, you can say, praise God, I live a full life. There are no regrets. Praise God. So we're concluding our 1 month to live series, and thank God you're still alive. You're still here. And the whole point of this series was not so much as to prepare you to die, right? But to prepare you to live. To live fully. To live with purpose. To live passionately. And God willing, you will live many, many more years to come. Not only years, but decades. Enjoying life to the fullest. Forever changed by the Spirit of God. As you embrace God's purpose of who you are. And you develop that passion to fulfill that purpose. So we want to move from the 1 month challenge to live, or 1 month to live challenge, from a 1 month to live lifestyle. So we can apply all these principles every day of our lives. Amen. So we have covered four universal principles that are unique expressions that will enable us to live for God the way God created us to live. And these are, number one, to live passionately. Number two, to love completely. Number three, to learn humbly. And to live boldly. Now, someone said, your life is a gift from God. But what you do with your life is your gift to him. Amen? So don't waste your life. Now, if you have taken this 1 month to live challenge, I know that you have made significant changes in your lives. I know I have. And your life is different. And the question is, now what? Now what? Now, if I were to limit it to one thing to take from this series of messages, I would like to do this. The purpose is that to ignite and restore the passion that we have for life. That's the main purpose, to ignite and restore the passion that you have for life. And if you had 1 month to live, you would want to make every second count. Because the gift that given us is a precious gift. Amen? And you would want to make your life meaningful. And every second of it to count something to something meaningful and eternal. And that you will fulfill the purposes that God has given you and deserve. And the fuel for sustaining that 1 month to live lifestyle is passion. Is passion. Amen? So that day by day, when the storms of life will come, you still have that passion. Amen? That endurance. Now look at what our text says. John 10:10. It says here, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Now circle the word life there. Jesus said, my purpose is to give you life, to give you a zest for living, to give you enthusiasm for life, to fill you with passion. And God wants you to be a passionate person. Amen? Not just going through the motions, but to be passionate in what you're doing. Now, doctors today are trying to come up with new medications, new technologies to prolong our life, to add years to our lives. And praise God for the gift of life. Amen? But Jesus is saying here that he's not only want us to add years to our lives, but add life to our years. Amen. Life to our years. And Jesus said, I have come not only to add years to your life, but to add life to your years. I want you to live a passionate life so that you have no regrets. Now, this verse just not only tells us that Jesus has a plan and purpose for my life, but also Satan has a purpose for your life. Satan has a plan for your life. And what is his plan? Circle the words here. Steal, kill, and destroy. Because that is what Satan wants. He wants to steal away your passion, your energy, your enthusiasm for life. He wants to kill your dreams, and he wants to destroy that love in your relationships. That is his plan, and that is his purpose, and that's what he wants to do. So God has got a wonderful plan for our lives, to fill our lives with passion so that we can live the way it was meant to be lived. But Satan is trying to steal our passion. He's a passion killer. Circle the word here. Thief. He's a thief. He's a magnanakaw. In Tagalog, right? He wants to steal and destroy our lives. And what does he do? What does he do to steal our passion for lives? He uses the problems. He uses the stresses. He uses the pressures of life to drain out the passion of our lives. So maybe you're saying today, Brother Archie, I've lost all my zest in life. Nothing really motivates me now. The problems and the stresses have taken a toll on me. I don't have a whole lot of passion right now. Well, the Bible says that God wants you to have a passionate life. Amen? It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, it says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. God wants you to be a what? Hot Christian. Not a cold Christian. Amen. He wants you to be full of zeal and enthusiasm and fervor in serving the Lord. Notice the word here, keep. It tells us that passion is something that we lose. We can lose if we don't keep it. So if we don't work at it, the stresses, the pressures, the problems of life can instill the passion for our families, for our relationships, for our jobs, for our friends, and our careers. But of course, one of the greatest example of a person who lived passionately is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that He says, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." His energy, his zest in life, his purpose filled his life so that he says, "My food." The thing that he needs most, the thing that he needs to do, is to finish the work of the Father. And the Bible says that when he cleansed the temple in John chapter 2, his disciples remembered that it's written, "Zeal of your house," or "zeal for your house will consume me." They were zeal for the house of the Lord. Amen. They were zeal for God. Do you have a zeal in coming to church to worship the Lord, to seek God, to listen to the Word of God? Or when you come to church, oh, church again. Church again, like some of the kids say, napipilitan po na sa church. But God says we should be excited. Amen. David says, I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Amen. I like what King David said in Psalms 27 about his passion in his worship and seeking God. He said this, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." That was the consuming desire of David, to seek God and dwell in the house of the Lord. In another verse says, he says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Amen? Do you love the place of worship? Now, how do you worship? How do you restore your passion for life? How do you develop the zeal for your life and your passion in your relationship? How do you get excited again in your love relationship with your wife, with your husband, with the calling, with the ministry that God has given to you? Well, I have four key pieces or key ingredients that are necessary to live a life that is full. And I would like to use the word life in an acrostic form. Acrostic. You know what that acrostic is? When we're a kid. All right? Now, what is the first word in life? I mean, first letter? L. Okay, this is the acrostic. The first letter is L, and it stands for love. This is a very, very foundational piece in the passion puzzle. Now, the fuel that fires the passion in your marriage is love. Amen? The fuel that fires the productivity that you have in your workplace is love. In fact, they did a study for about 20 years, a cross-section of American workers, and they studied several thousands of workers over a period of 20-year span. And here was the conclusion of that study. If you do what you love to do long enough, success will come. Did you hear that? If you do what you love to do long enough, success will come. Success will come because people don't succeed at what they don't love. Amen? So success comes out of love. So for marriage to be successful, there must be passion, there must be love. The passion of marriage comes out of the root of love. Now, the same thing is in your workplace. Amen? Passion at the workplace comes out of love. Do you love what you do? Or napipili talaga kaya? Art? I love what to do. I love what I do. It's difficult many times, but I still love what I do, right? I love the ministry. I love talking to people. I love standing here, not to be popular, not to be seen, but I love to share the word of God. Amen. Amen. I love to teach the word of God. And some people ask, do you ever get tired in the ministry? Huh? Have you ever been asked that? I would say no. Right? I get tired in the ministry, but I never get tired of the ministry. Mahirap sometimes, right? But it's the joy of ministering to people. It's the joy of seeing people transformed by the power of God that excites you. Amen. It's the joy of sharing the gospel that excites you, that excites me. That's why the Bible says, even when one sinner just repent, what does the Bible say? There's rejoicing in heaven. Are you not filled with joy when you share the word of God, you share Jesus, and that person is touched? Amen. And receive Christ in their lives. So if you love what you do, you'll be a success. If you do it long enough. Amen. By the way, there's a difference between passion and lust. The difference between what you have when you have passion for something is that the more you do it, the more you are satisfied, the more you are fulfilled. But when you have lust, the more you do it, the less you are satisfied. Because lust leaves you empty, unsatisfied. Passion comes out of love, and love is unselfish. And lust comes out of selfishness. Now, a lot of people confuse between passion and lust. They're also confused about lust and love. In fact, most of the songs that we hear today, especially the songs of the young people, they're not really love songs, but lust songs. Isn't it? Lust songs. And it's not about giving. It's more of taking what I can get. Right? Now, why is it that so many marriages start out hot, sizzling, all right? And before you know it, it fizzles out. The romance is gone. The passion dies out. Why does that happen to many marriages? It reminds me of a couple who went to a doctor because the husband had been having some health problems. And the doctor came back with a test result and he said, I'm sorry to tell you, sir, but it looks like you have only about 6 months left to live. I would like you to talk to your wife. I would like to talk to your wife alone. So the guy goes back out of the car and waits for his wife. The doctor says to the wife, Madam, I really think your husband could live a lot longer if you do two things. Number one, feed him 3 healthy meals a day. And then have relations with him every night. The wife goes back out to the car and the husband was just waiting anxiously and he says, what did the doctor say? The wife looks at their husband in the right eye and says, he says, you're going to die. She lost her passion for her husband. She lost her passion for marriage. She forgot her covenant of marriage, that whether in sickness or in health, in poverty or in wealth, till death, D-E-B-T, or till death. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why is it that passion goes out of marriage so quickly? Why? A mediator starts passionate. Then before you know it, the passion is gone. I tell you why. Because we have to get back to the root of passion. And that is love. That is love. The fuel that fires the passion of marriage is love. The fuel that fires passion in our lives is love. That's why Jesus says in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 to 5, he says, you have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen, repent, and do the things you did at first. The real problem is that most people don't know what love is. Most people think that love is just a feeling. It's what you feel. People just talk about just falling in love, like falling in a ditch or something. You can fall in, you can fall out of love, and you can just help it. You're just walking around and suddenly, boom, you lost that feeling. Love is not a feeling. It's a choice. It's an action. It's an action. Love is an action that produces powerful feelings. Many people think that love is a feeling, and when the feelings are gone, they think they fall out of love. Now the Bible says love is a choice. Love is an action. Love is a thing that you do so that when you do the lovely thing, loving things, what happens? It produces that powerful emotion of love in your heart. Now, it says in this verse also that you have to get back to your first love. So it says, do the things that you did at first. So if you want to get back that passion, that love again in your marriage, you have to do the things that you did when you first in love. You have to go back to the root, amen, of love. And rather than worrying about your emotions, like what most people say, oh, I just don't feel in love anymore. Please release me. I forget the song. And let me go. I don't love you anymore. That's terrible, isn't it? They are just waiting for the feeling. I tell you, the feeling will never come unless you start acting your love. Amen? Because when you start acting in a loving way, that passion comes back in your marriage relationship. So what did you do when you first fall in love? You got to do these things again. Brother, I don't want to put anybody in the spot, all right? Brother Tony, okay, anyway. But anyway, these are the things that you did. You spent time together, isn't it? You were affectionate, holding hands. Your attention was focused on the other person. You were romantic. Can you say amen? These are the things that you did. You could not wait until you want to see that person. And when you're away, your heart gets what? Sad. But when you get near again, your heart starts thumpy-thump, thumpy-thump, palpitation, palpitation. All right? Okay. So this is what you have to do. Amen. So most people are waiting for the feelings to come back when they do all these things. No, you have to act in a loving way before those feelings come back, because love produces those powerful feelings of emotions. Now, this verse is primarily really rekindling our love for God, isn't it? Our love for God. You may be here today and you're saying, Brother Artsy, I'm a believer, but I admit that I don't really feel close to God right now. Maybe in your life, there was a time that you felt so close to God. Well, who has moved? Who has moved away? God has not moved. God is still here. So it is you who move, right? It is you to move. So if you are feeling right now that you are not passionate about God as you were once, then you have to do the things that you did when you first fell in love with God. What did you do? You spent time with the Lord. You spent time with the Word of God. Amen? You spent time praying. You spent time fellowshipping with other believers. And you want to talk about Jesus all the time. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus in the evening. And you tell everybody what God has done in your life. You were so excited. You were so excited. But you have lost that. What do you have to do? Go back to the things that you did at first. It says repent, which means to change your mind and do the things that you did at first. So if you want to rekindle your passion for life, you focus on God. You focus on God's love and focus on experiencing His love for you. Amen? So the first foundation, the first piece to a life of no regret is love. Amen? Love. The most important, the second one, second letter in the acrostic is I, which stands for integrity. What is integrity? Integrity means you simply integrate what I believe, all right, in my daily actions, which means you integrate what you believe in your walk daily in your life. You what? You walk the talk. That's what it means. You apply what you have learned from the Word of God and put them in your heart and you live it daily. That's integrity. Now, the opposite of integrity is what? We compartmentalize our life. All right? Think of your life like an apple pie. Right? A round apple pie. So, what we do is what? If you are working, we have a slice. We have a career slice, right? And if you are married, you have a marriage slice. And if you have a family, you have a family slice. If you have a hobby, you have a hobby slice, a recreation slice, a God slice. Different slice of the big pie. Big pie. But God says to us, I don't want to be just one little slice in your life. That's what God is saying. God says, I demand first place in your life or no place at all. That's what He says to us. He wants the whole thing. He wants our whole life. Look at what Jesus said in Mark 12:30. He says here, love the Lord with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. There are four alls there. So God is saying here, I want to be integrated in every area of your life. That's what God is telling us. That's what integrity is all about. So think again of your life as a big pie. It's all sliced up in all these different slices. There's the one big circle, the pie of our life, but God wants to be in the center of all the slices of your life. So He wants to be in the center of your career. He wants to be the center of your married life. He wants to be in the center of your habits, of your recreation, and right in the center is where God belongs. Where is first place? He deserved to be first place because he died for our sins. He deserves our ultimate priority in our lives in every area. Amen. So don't compartmentalize your life. Let Jesus be involved and be the center of every area of your life. So if you want to have integrity, you have to integrate God in the first place of every area in your life. Just as lust destroys our passion, so lack of integrity also destroys our passion. Nothing frustrates us more than when we say we believe something, but we don't live it out. That's what we call hypocrisy, isn't it? You are putting mask. We claim to be that what we are not, right? And that frustrates us. That frustrates us. Nothing frustrates us more than to say God is first place, but we don't give him the time to fellowship with him, to read his word. We don't give him the time to worship him. We don't give him the talents that God has given us. We don't give him the treasure that God has provided us. And when I say I'll take care of my health, that's my plan. But if I don't eat good rightly, and if you don't exercise, you know, that's frustrating. And the same way, for example, with our family. When I say I love my family, but I'm overworked, I neglect them, that's frustrating. That loses the passion out of our lives. So second one is integrity. God wants us to be men and women of integrity. Amen? God wants us to live a life that is one with God. To live the belief system that we have. To walk the talk. Amen. Number three. The third letter in the acrostic of life is F. It stands for forgiveness. Now, have you been having a good day? Yes, right? Things are going pretty good. And then suddenly you have a conflict. Conflict at work with a co-worker. Or you get into an argument with your husband or your wife. Right? So what happens? What happens? It drains your passion. Right? It drains that passion. There's nothing that drains the passion in our lives than an unresolved conflict. That's why Job chapter 5 verse 2 says, surely resentment destroys the fool, and jealousy kills the simple. Now, circle the words resentment and jealousy there. These two things will steal your passion quicker than anything else. Resentment is a passion stealer. Resentment is a passion killer. That's why God wants us to forgive others. God wants us to forgive others. Amen. Amen. Not to let them off the hook, but for your sake. Now, if you want to get passion back in your life, you have got to learn how to forgive other people. It does not say here that you let them off the hook. And it does not say that, oh, it's no big deal. No big deal. You are not really hurt. No, it's a big deal. But you have to forgive for your sake. Amen? Amen. And it's God's command. Many times we carry around resentment, bitterness, because we have been hurt. We hold onto that hatred and anger against other people. And you know what? It steals that passion out of your life. The other person that has hurt us could kill us, right? Does not hurt them a little bit? But it's just hurting us. Nagmumokmok tayo. Huh? You're hurting yourself if you don't forgive. And it drains that love and that passion out of your life. And of course, Jesus Christ is the greatest example that He is always for us. And on the cross, what did He say? Father, forgive them, for they don't know, they don't realize what they do, they are doing. So he said this on the cross, He forgave those who were crucifying Him. No one forgave more than the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the most passionate person that has ever lived because He is the most passionate, He is the most forgiving person that has ever lived. That's why the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, we call it the passion of Christ, right? He has passion for us. He has passion because He loves us. He's passionate for you. Amen? He cares you so much. He cares you so much that He went to the cross and died for us. So if God is passionate for us, think about it. We should also be passionate for God. Right? It's amazing today that in America you can be passionate about anything except God. Right? I heard in the radio a few days ago about a school that has prohibited a young boy to distribute religious tracts in the school. But praise God, there's a judge who is willing to stand for God. And he said, you can do it. Amen? So in America today, you can be passionate about anything except God. You can be passionate for the Bears, although they're losing. You can be passionate for sports, isn't it? Look at those people who attend the ball games. What do? They shout. They scream. They clap their hands. They even paint their face. Do crazy things. People do weird things for sports. And you call them what? Fan, right? They're a sports fan. But when you get passionate for Jesus Christ, what do they call you? You're a fanatic. Right? You're fanatic. It's okay to be excited about everything in America except God. That's why I believe America is in danger. America is losing. Losing the blessing of God. And I like what Sister Cecile quoted this morning to remind us as God's people when Solomon was praying the temple. He says, when there is judgment in the land, God says, if my people were called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and heal their lands. God is not looking for Hollywood. God is not looking for White House. Right? He's looking for you. For me to humble ourselves. Amen. Humble ourselves and repent of our sins. So that God can once more pour out His blessing upon this nation, upon our families. Amen. So it's time for us as Christian believers to get excited about Jesus Christ. Amen. To be passionate about Him. Can you say amen? Amen. I'm not saying you have to do weird things or strange things. You may have to do that. But I'm saying be passionate for God. Be passionate in your prayer life. Be passionate in your witnessing. Be passionate in your reading, studying the Word of God. You know, there's so many people out there who is looking for reality, looking for hope. You could be the answer. You can touch their lives. Amen? But it comes out of your passion. You can only give what you have. Amen? Ministry is an overflow of what we have experienced from the Lord. That leads me to the fourth one. E, which stands for enthusiasm. To have a life of no regrets, I need enthusiasm. Ano enthusiasm Tagalog again? Sister Lolet? Kalimutan din. Ganado? Enthusiasm. Emerson said, nothing ever great happens without enthusiasm. Nothing ever great happens without enthusiasm. Now, enthusiasm comes from two Greek words, en and theos. Theos is the Greek word for God, and en simply means in. So it literally means God within. The word enthusiasm comes from the words God within. So if you are a believer, God is within you. And if you are a believer, you should be an enthusiastic person. You should be a ganado person. Huh? Amen. The most enthusiastic, the most passionate who has ever lived is Christ. And if Christ is in you, the Bible says, who is the hope of glory in you, then you must be an excited person. Amen. If you say, Brother Art, say, oh, I don't know if I'm not passionate about anything. I just don't have any passion anymore. Not really excites me. I wake up in the morning depressed. I wake up in the morning walang gana sa buhay. Well, I say this to you. Get real in your life. Amen. Get back to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Get in touch with Jesus. Be connected with Jesus. Hallelujah. Be connected with the source of that power. And who is the source of that power? Jesus Christ. The Bible says we have received what? Grace after grace after grace. Amen. Blessing upon blessing from He. From who? Christ. He's the source. So just connected with the power. Hallelujah. So the question is, if you are not excited, is Christ in you? Have you received Christ into your heart? Have you allowed your Christ to dwell in your hearts? Because it says here, and in theos is God within. So as believers, if you have Christ, you should have that excitement. You should have that verb, that zest for living, for serving the Lord. Or maybe you are a believer and you have lost your enthusiasm. I would say this, you are spending too much on television. Amen. You are spending too much on Facebook. You're spending too much on the telephone or in the shopping mall. It's time to spend more time with God. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, you become with whom you hang with. Whom are you hanging with? Huh? If you hang out with God a little more, you're going to get excited. Amen. And when you get excited for God, you know what? You start caring for what God cares. You start hurting for whom God hurts about. You get excited about the things that God is excited about. Amen. And you become a passionate person when you start spending time with God. That's why Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord. He's saying whatever you do, be passionate about it. If you cannot be passionate about it, don't do it. Oh, you may say, Pastor Archie, My work is boring. My heart is mundane. Huh? I will say to you, that's okay. You can be passionate about it as long as you remember that God is your boss. You're not working for man. God is your boss. All right? And God is watching you. Besides, it pays your bills. Amen. Tomorrow when you go back to work, you may be feeling, oh, nobody notices me over here of the little things that I do. Or even the dirty things that you want to do if you're a caregiver. Huh? Ano ba magigawa ang caregiver na dirty? That's why my daughter says, oh, I thank God I'm not a nurse. But I told her, it's a ministry. You'll have to love it. Amen? Ministry of taking care of people. And if you're faithful in that thing, amen, God is watching you. And God has a reward waiting for you. Because Jesus says, even if you give a cup of cold water to those little ones, to somebody who is in need, you will never, never lose your reward. Amen. So be faithful. Get excited. Be passionate of what you're doing. So if you're a caregiver, be the best caregiver you could be. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know what? The people that change the world are not the wealthiest. You know that? Are not the most talented. Are not the most educated. But the people who change the world for good or even bad are the most passionate. The driven people. The most driven. And God has placed within our hearts that passion. Amen? Yes, because he has passion for us. He loves us very much. If you think about the passion that God has for us, think about the passion that you can also have for him and for other people. Amen? And he went through the cross with all the suffering, pain, endured it. And he loves you very much. He cares for you. You may be here this morning and saying, I have this struggle, I have some difficulties, and you may think in your heart that nobody cares. But I say this, I have a good news. Jesus cares. Jesus cares. He cares you so much that he gave his life for you. He knows everything that you are going through. He knows all your fears, all your struggles. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 10. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than sparrows. He's saying here, God will not allow anything in your life without his knowledge, without his permission. Amen? And if he cares for the little birds of the air, he cares for you. Because he says, you are much, much worth than many sparrows. Amen? And if he knows the number of your hair, and some of us don't have many, how much more does he know every detail of your life? How much he knows every need that we have. Physical needs, material needs, financial needs, all of our needs he knows. Amen? Is that not comforting? So it's my prayer this morning that as we close this service, that you would just feel his love. That you will just let him fill you with His love. It is not really how much we love Him, but how much He loves us. Amen? We struggle many times. Lord, I have to love God. No. Just let Him fill you with His love. Because out of His love will come your love. Amen. So just allow Him to fill you with His love, with His passion, and just fill you up. Jesus, in John chapter 4, it says He wants to give you that living water. And if you drink of that living water that He gives you, you will never thirst again, it says here. Because that water is eternal life, that abundant life, that passionate life, that life of fulfillment that we're talking about. Just drink of that living water. And in John chapter 7, He says here, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to Me and drink. Whoever believes in Me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water. Another translation, rivers of living water will flow from within. Amen? Rivers of living water. He's talking about the Holy Spirit here, who can give you that joy unspeakable and full of glory. If you have lost your joy, you have lost your passion for life, just drink of the water. The drink of the water of the Holy Spirit. And He will give you up. He will fill you up with joy. And the joy is your strength. The joy of the Lord will keep you. The joy of the Lord will give you that passion and enthusiasm. So this morning, are you thirsty for the living water of the Holy Spirit? Then you can come to Jesus and drink. Drink to the full. Amen. There is a vast, unlimited supply. We have a song which says, come to the waters. Amen. He loves you so much that He wants to give you that living water, that eternal life. And that eternal life comes from Jesus, because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through Me. So this morning, Jesus is the only one who can satisfy and quench the thirst in our hearts. Amen. So let's receive from Him this morning. Let's receive of His abundant supply, of His goodness, and of His grace. And just open up your heart to receive Christ into your life this morning. Amen. And He will fill you with that passion. He will fill you with the joy. He will fill you with all the blessings that He has prepared. Amen. For each and every one of us. Amen. So let's stand up together. And let's worship Him. Hallelujah. Oh, let's drink of the Holy Spirit this morning. Let's commit our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And receive the joy of the Lord, receive that blessing, that receive that living water, receive that eternal life. Hallelujah. So I want the worship team again to come here and lead us in worship. Hallelujah, Lord.
And that was Pastor Archie on his sermon titled Living a No Regrets Life. If you'd like to join us for our Sunday service, our address is 6535 West Berry Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Our telephone number is 773-888-3392. That's 773-888-FFWC. You can reach us online at ffwcchicago.com. And our email is contactus@ffwcchicago.com. Until next time, take care and God bless. Bye.